Welcome.
Welcome
to Warriors Wrap Up.
And Blount Curry takes another three. It's up and good! He's got 62!
On 95.7, the game.
Pass to Wiseman off the pick, and he flies in for a dunk.
Jam!
Oh, by Oubre! He caught it right at the restricted area and slammed it home with a left hand.
Here's John Dickinson and Ryan Covey.
Wiggins off a pick by Draymond. Wiggins passes to the wing. There's JTA again, and he buries another one!
How big has he been? Three threes tonight.
95 all. JTA above the break.
Yeah, and it was 95 all with 4:43 to go on that Juan Toscano-Anderson three. Some big buckets for JTA. Also, Nico Mannion pitching in. Another fantastic performance from Jordan Poole. But on the whole, not enough for the Warriors to complete the sweep of the Grizzlies. Grizzlies win those final 5 minutes of this basketball game, and they do it by a 16-8 count as the Warriors lose this one and drop to 22-21. We welcome you in here to Warriors Wrap-Up with John Dickinson and Ryan Covey. A lot to chew on and unpack from this one. Hell of an effort on the second night of a back-to-back for the Warriors, but not exactly the offensive prowess that we saw from Golden State last night. And to me, there's a lot we can get into about those final 5 minutes, a couple of miscues, maybe a coaching gaffe, but to me, the Warriors lost this game before the final 5 minutes simply because they didn't make shots at the rate that they did in last night's game.
Yeah, no question, JD. I mean, 34% they end up shooting from the floor, 31% from three-point range. Memphis was beatable tonight. I know that this was technically a free roll, whatever you want to call it, but this is a disappointing outcome because this was a game with a little bit more execution down the stretch. The Warriors could have had it, and I think and that's where it'll be filed for me going forward. Another one of these games where, you know, the Warriors certainly had their chances to win it and didn't get it done, and ultimately you'll take the trip and you know the winning road trip and all that. But I think at the end of the day, this was one that they could have had tonight and probably should have had.
Well, you said it. I mean, Memphis was beatable. They looked as shook tonight and unprepared to play as they did last night, and maybe even in some ways more. I mean, the Warriors had the Grizzlies, I thought, in the second quarter, flat out ready to get down 10 or 15 again, kind of like last night. But the Warriors, yeah, just a lot of quick shots, some bad shots. The ball movement was dramatically different. I think part of that was Memphis, though, tonight. I mean, the one thing the Grizzlies were hell-bent on doing was making the game as ugly as possible, and the Warriors were able to hold themselves up, in particular in the first quarter because they got to the free throw line a ton and in the first half. So you had to like where the Warriors were at, up two at the break, but just never able to get separation were the Warriors in this game. It goes probably in a little different category for me. I don't know what the exact category is. I mean, it's an opportunity missed. It's not the ilk for me of Orlando or Charlotte or even, sure, the first San Antonio game or anything like that. But it is definitely a missed opportunity. I think there's no doubt about it. And yeah, as a whole, 2-1 you'll take. I think, you know, Draymond Green, I give him credit, and it sounds like he's going to be okay after that ankle tweak. I mean, he said last night after the game, told the team, hey, this isn't a free run tonight. And he backed it up in terms of sticking it out and staying in that game despite the tweaked ankle. But just not enough, unfortunately, for the Warriors in this one to get the sweep.
Yeah, and look, there was a lot of guys that brought big performances. Unfortunately, you know, on a night where you don't have Steph Curry, if Andrew Wiggins and Kelly Oubre are going to combine for 8 for 27, you're probably not going to win that basketball game straight up. You know, another nice night for Jordan Poole. He pops off for 26. Has his ship come in? I'm going to say yes, John Dickinson. But regardless, they just didn't get enough. You know, Smile Geach obviously thrust into a role, got in some early foul trouble. He wasn't ready, you know, for prime time yet. I think we all knew that. And that was a big ask for him dealing with a guy like Jonas Valanciunas, particularly Valanciunas maybe in a bit of a cantankerous mood after last night. But you know, I think the Warriors still played good team defense. They you know, had a lot of hustle and heart on display tonight, but it just it gets filed under another chance that you had to win a game. It's, you know, and you didn't get it done executing down the stretch. I mean, look, it certainly doesn't fall under the category of the Orlando game or the Charlotte game, anything like that. But it's just, you get 72 cracks at this, right, JD? And then you add them up at the end of the year, and how many did you get? And this is one they could have got. Certainly it would have been like finding a $20 bill on the couch. But, hey, there was a $20 bill on the couch. They just didn't reach down and grab it.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Where do you put this game? Who do you put this game on? And where did the Warriors lose this game, I think, is kind of the question of the night and the direction I want to go with this. Was it the final 5 minutes? Was it Steve Kerr and the Warriors coaching staff not calling a timeout when Andrew Wiggins gets trapped and it leads to a turnover, which basically ices the game for Memphis? Jordan Poole was back in the game with 9 minutes to go tonight. I jokingly put it out there on Twitter. Hey, Steve Kerr's trying to chase this one. Imagine if I had put that tweet out in January. Jordan right. Poole back in with 9 minutes to go. Warriors are chasing wins. But it was true because Jordan Poole was that good, and the Warriors needed that offensive boost. Draymond Green was back in with about 7:40 to go. I mean, once the Warriors had a shot to win it in the fourth quarter, they definitely went for it. And we'll hear from Steve Kerr momentarily on a couple of those things that we've already touched on just a little bit here off the top of the show. But for you, what do you pinpoint as where this game was lost before we hear what Coach Kerr had to say?
I think they didn't put separation between them and Memphis when Memphis was vulnerable. I mean, the fact that it was so tight down the stretch, the Warriors had basically taken this game over for a reasonable stretch. And, you know, certainly in the second quarter, they just didn't hit enough shots. And it was really, I don't want to say undisciplined play, but certainly bad shot selection for me, shooting definitely early in the clock. The ball movement got a little stagnant. So for me, it was just not crisp execution. It's hard to come down on him for that when you think about, well, you got Jordan Poole playing the point, now in Smiley Geach as you're basically your starting power forward, starting center, whatever you want to call it tonight. So then just not making enough shots. I mean, straight up. Like, you know, Memphis didn't play great defense. I just think the Warriors settled for some bad shots, and they missed quite a few open looks, too. Last night they were hitting them. Tonight they weren't. I mean, you said it, partner, make or miss league, and they didn't make enough. And, you know, Memphis wasn't exactly blazing a trail tonight either, but then it was also, you know, execution down the stretch. I mean, Memphis made just enough plays. They should feel very fortunate that they got a split, though, in this little two-step.
Well, especially considering the fact that the Warriors didn't have any of their bigs by the time this game started tonight, and no Steph Curry in either game. I think it really is one of these situations where both teams probably feel fortunate. The Warriors more with a bad taste in their mouth because they feel they could have got the two, but they do get out with the split. They do get out with a 22-21 record. They do get out with Draymond Green being able to finish that game. We'll keep an eye on him and his ankle over the course of the next couple of days. And they do get out in position to start getting some guys back over the course of the next week. And it's three more games off the schedule. And it's a 2-1 road trip. The Warriors hadn't exactly been playing very well on the road either. So, any way you can get a 2 out of 3, I think at this point you have to take it if you're the Warriors. Let's hear from Steve Kerr a little bit earlier than usual here on Warriors Wrap-Up because there were some key questions in the post-game Zoom press conference. First and foremost, let's get the answer from the head coach as far as where his disappointment and frustration level was at the end of this one.
It wasn't so much the finish. I was disappointed that we just let them off the hook. You know, we had every opportunity in the second quarter to take control of that game, and we just made too many mistakes. You know, too many one pass possessions. You know, last night we had one of our best passing games of the year. Ball was moving, and we had, like I said, second quarter, we had every opportunity. The game was wide open, and it was right there for us, and we had them on their heels, and we didn't seize the opportunity, and we let them hang around. We let them off the hook, and then in the third quarter, they were able to reestablish themselves. And I thought we lost the game in the second quarter, and that's what I was frustrated about.
And the irony there is they lost the game in the second quarter, and the second quarter was the only quarter the Warriors won in this ball game tonight, actually outscoring the Grizzlies 27-21, but it could have been more. and Steve Kerr echoing a lot of what we've had to say here in the early going of this program regarding just, you know, some of the bad shots. It's always kind of a catch-22. Like, was the ball movement, and Steve Kerr talks about this, and he did address it later on in the press conference. Are the shots going in because you're making the extra passes, or are they just going in because they're going in, and when they go in, you're more apt to make the extra pass because you're feeling like the whole process is working? I think at times you can get a little impatient when shots aren't falling and the game does get mucked up the way that the game tonight was by the Grizzlies with all the fouls and different things. It's hard to get in any kind of a flow. And Steve Kerr addressed this later on, or are you not making shots because you don't earn the shots to go in because you're not playing the right way? It's one of those chicken or the egg conversations. Not sure there's a total full answer there, but I think the Warriors did get a little bit impatient, maybe in part because the shots weren't going down.
Yeah, for sure. And that's where you can start to press a little bit. He went full Dennis Green there, RIP to the great Denny Green, talking about we let him off the hook, right? I thought Steve Kerr was going to bang the podium and say, if you want to crown him, crown their ass. But then I remember he was on a Zoom call. But yeah, I mean, look, there's when you're playing a road game, especially shorthanded, the fact that they had action at this game and, you know, Memphis just didn't steamroll them, that speaks to their competitive spirit without question. But you know, there's stretches in every game. Like, what's the old adage in the NBA? Everybody makes a run, right? And when the Warriors had their chance in the second quarter, when they were in a really nice rhythm and Memphis seemed like they were game to maybe just turtle up and get down by, you know, 15-plus points, the Warriors just didn't do enough executing. I think there was a little bit of frustration there. And look, that'll happen. And that'll happen for a jump-shooting team, right, JD? I mean, you know, the Warriors, they shot 41 threes tonight. And when they're not going down, you know, you can tend to maybe press a little bit because you know you're having – you know, what essentially amounts to empty possessions, and, you know, you're trying to make that up, and, you know, you're not seeing the gains that you would, even though you're selling out on the defensive end and getting a lot of stops and making life tough for Memphis. So I think there's a little bit of frustration in there, but I mean, all you got to do is look at the box score, right? I mean, Damian Lee was balling last night. He goes, you know, 1-for-5, 1-for-4 from downtown. Oubre, 4-of-13, Wiggy, 4-of-14. You know, Draymond ended up kicking in 7 points. I mean, Jordan Poole and Juan Toscano-Anderson, those were the two guys that showed up and balled out tonight. Other than that, you know, I think by and large, there was a lot of guys that just straight up didn't do enough. I mean, not that you would expect them to be in a position to win the game. They were, and just not enough guys executed. So that's, you know, you're usually not going to win a game when you can only look at like two guys and say definitively they played really nice games.
Yeah, Wiggins, not the same game for him. He was a key cog. Obviously, Looney was one of the big four last night. He wasn't even available to play. Jordan Poole was Jordan freaking Poole again, and we'll get to that coming up as he pitched in 26 in the ballgame tonight, and you nailed it as far as Damian Lee goes. An 8-of-14 and a 4-of-8 from three last night, and tonight it's 1-of-5 and 1-of-4 from three, and the offense just wasn't there. Let's get to more from Steve Kerr. One of the big questions, and I think a lot of the frustration on social media and from the fan base, was the play where Andrew Wiggins got trapped, threw a bad pass, winds up leading to a bucket the other way for the Grizzlies that basically ended this game in the final minute and a half or so. Here's what Steve Kerr had to say. He was asked point blank by Monty Poole of NBC Sports Bay Area what should have happened on that play, and here's what Steve Kerr said.
I should have taken a timeout, Monty. That was my fault. As soon as I saw him trapped, I should have run onto the court and taken a timeout, and I didn't do that.
So accountable, Steve Kerr typically is in that situation. I think for me, that happens too much. I mean, this is the second time now, the Charlotte game, where, you know, you've got a situation and he tried to call timeout, called it too late. I mean, is there any concern level with you? I think sometimes Steve Kerr's a great coach. I do think at times he gets a little lost in the moment in some of those situations where, you know, you got to be thinking the game. You got to be thinking game management at all times. And I think if there is maybe a theory that, hey, the Warriors haven't had to win a lot of games that way with calling the timeout at the right time because they've had a lot of talent, that's the kind of thing that makes people kind of wonder, like, you know, you'll the Bill Belichicks are calling timeout and making sure that that happens, and their staffs always have their heads in the game there. Not a big thing, but it's something that does frustrate fans when an obvious play, and you've got everybody probably screaming, call timeout in their houses, and it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt, and I think, you know, Warriors fans have a right to be somewhat frustrated with that. Look, Steve Kerr obviously has the accolades, but nobody is above having a rough night at the office, right? And, you know, I always admire the accountability factor. I mean, that kind of thing starts at the top and will permeate through an organization. If somebody has a gaffe or, you know, wishes they would have done something a little differently, especially when you can kind of draw a straight line between that and not getting the desired result, of course, which is winning, then you appreciate that kind of accountability. And, you know, look, Steve Kerr's human. It was a tough moment, certainly, but I do think there's something to that. I mean, sometimes his in-game coaching, you know, whatever you want to call it, the engagement, the attention to detail, leaves a little bit to be desired every now and again. It's not anything that's like going to be very high up on his resume, right? Or, you know, when we think about what Steve Kerr's, represents. But, you know, nights like tonight, hey, you should have called timeout straight up. And he owns it. You take it on the chin and you move forward. Like anybody else who makes a mistake in an in-game situation, you hope maybe next time there'll be a little bit more awareness there. But I appreciate the acknowledgement. Doesn't help him, though. They still ended up losing the game, and he still should have called timeout.
888-957-9570. Warriors wrap up with John Dickinson and Ryan Covey here on 95.7 The Game as the Grizzlies beat the Warriors in this ball game tonight, 111-103. So Golden State 2-1 on the trip. They get the split in Memphis. You couple that with the win in Houston, and the Warriors long flight back, and then they'll have a couple of days off. Off day tomorrow, then a practice day Monday, and then they'll go at it against the Philadelphia 76ers on Tuesday night. Inside Chase Center. Let's hear about one of the more positive aspects of the night, and that was another big game for Jordan Poole as he continues to flourish in the starting lineup tonight, again for Stephen Curry, 38 minutes, 26 points. Here's what Steve Kerr liked about Jordan Poole.
Fantastic. He's been fantastic every single game since he's come back from Orlando. Really proud of Jordan. Happy for him for the success that he's having. He's earned his confidence. You know, that's the main thing. Putting all the work in, he's earned the right to play well and to believe that every shot's going in. And Jordan looks great.
Yeah, the hard work absolutely continuing to pay off for him. And he was asked after that a follow-up from Anthony Slater of The Athletic. Hey, Steph's coming back. You know, guys are coming back. Does he need to be playing more minutes regardless? And I think the answer to this question was already going to be yes, and Steve Kerr gave a very succinct and almost curt yes. So, I mean, Jordan Poole's going to be playing. He's already in the rotation. I'm excited to see how far he can take this thing between now and the end of the season, because if this keeps up, this is going to wind up being a real find for the Warriors. I know you always point out, you're right, he was a first-round pick, but, I mean, a month ago, I would not have – hell, 2 weeks ago, I would not have thought that Jordan Poole would have the potential to be a major cog in next year's rotation. He's on track right now to be a cog in next year's rotation if he can continue to keep this up.
I don't think there's any question, and – the Warriors need bench scoring, right, JD? And I was waiting for the question of, so when Steph comes back, is he coming off the bench now? No, I'm kidding. Jordan Poole has certainly earned the accolades. He's shown kind of growth. And time will tell if this is here to stay. I would, just based on, you know, the eye test, the optics, just watching his growth from where he was at last year to where he's at now, the comfort level. He didn't turn the basketball over. I mean, he's playing a real heady game. And, you know, I know we had Gary St. Jean was on, and even Nick Friedell and I talked to him on Warriors this week, a couple weeks ago, and, you know, he compared him to Swaggy P, right? I think he's getting further and further away from the Swaggy P comparisons at every turn. Jordan Poole's a baller, and he's a scorer. And, look, the Warriors – I know that expectations for next year are high. Dog, they won 15 games last year, okay? So there are no bad ideas at this point, right? And I know that there's a lot of reasons to believe that they're going to be much better next year as they are this year, but they're taking full auditions. There's many open roles on that bench for next season. I think we know who the starters are, right? I think that's pretty much etched in stone, barring a big trade. But the 7, 8, 9, 10 role, all open for business right now. And if Jordan Poole continues to play like this, not only is he going to be a part of that rotation, he's going to be like one of the first dudes off that bench next year. And hey, look, with the uncertainty around Klay Thompson's availability next year, just how healthy he's going to be, with Kelly Oubre's, you know, contractual situation hanging in the air, Jordan Poole, combo guard for the Warriors next year, that is a massively important role. So I love where Poole's game's at right now. Of course, as you mentioned, JD, I know you like to take the more conservative approach. I'm a little more emotional about it. He's going to have to prove it the rest of the way. He's earned that rope, though. And what I also think, JD, he's earned a bad night or two at the office, too, where we're not going to say, uh-oh, it's all coming apart for Jordan Poole. No, maybe he just had a tough night. Like, this dude can score. So I think Warriors fans should be stoked on him. And, you know, for all those Dubs fans that like to say, who's Bob Myers drafted? Who have they developed? Well, this could be one that could be a nice feather in their cap, to say the very least.
Absolutely, and it's one less skill or one less player that they'd have to go get in an offseason where they still are going to have to go get other pieces. So if you didn't have Jordan Poole in your back pocket, you know, playing at a level where you could pencil him in for some minutes on a team that it thinks they can do some things, then that means that you got to spend some of your other capital, whether it's a mid-level exception or whether it's a trade or maybe another draft pick, on a player that maybe can bring some of those things to the table. So if Jordan Poole can keep this rolling, and I'm with you, the eye test, the numbers, it all looks great right now. And, you know, he's done it now for what, the past 8 games, basically. And the good news is he's going to get essentially 4 more, groups of 8 games between now and the end of the season to right. See just where he stacks up and just how good he can continue to be. So A-okay at this point, all on track at this point, and that would be a huge add for this team for next season. And again, it just helps you balance the rest of the roster out in different ways. I mean, Klay Thompson comes back. You figure out who your backup wing is going to be. You've got a guy that can be instant offense. I mean, hell, maybe he winds up being somebody, and this might be the next phase in this thing. Can him and Steph play together? I know we saw a little bit of that in the Utah game that the Warriors closed out. He's finished a couple of games for the Warriors. The Houston game was obviously another one when Steph went down. But if those two can play some together, maybe that offsets some of Klay Thompson's inability to be Klay Thompson right off the top opening night in 2021.
That's a great point. I mean, so much of Jordan Poole's opportunities are going to be dictated by who he's going to play with, right? I mean, I think there's Jordan, because look, every time we talk about Jordan Poole, the conversation has been, well, he's not a traditional point guard. Maybe he's an off guard. Okay, well, that's fine. So you're going to have to play with the backup point guard, and hence the Nico Mannion connection. But when you get to next year and you start to look at who can you play with, if he is a 2, are you only going to have him out there with?
All right, we'll pause here. John Dickinson, Ryan Covey, Warriors wrap up on 95.7 The Game, having a couple little technical issues with Covey here. We'll go ahead and pause. We'll come back. We'll hear more from Steve Kerr. I promise Covey I'll let him finish that thought regarding Jordan Poole and maybe him and Steph playing together. We'll get to who's hot and who's not as well as we are with you here until 9 o'clock. Warriors fall in Memphis, 111-103. You heard it right here on 95.7 The Game.
Poole with the dribble. Downstairs goes to Toscano Anderson. Back to Poole. Give it go. Left hand. Good and a foul. The prettiest play in the last 5 minutes of basketball right there.
Now, back to Warriors wrap-up with John Dickinson and Ryan Covey on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, it got pretty ugly in the second quarter. Good 5-6 minute stretch of ugly, ugly basketball both ways. Neither team able to get much accomplished, and Jordan Poole was able to get a lot accomplished in this ball game, and really over the course of the last six, seven, eight ball games for the Warriors. Another bright lights kind of a night for Jordan Poole. 26 points, getting the start for Stephen Curry. Not enough for the Warriors to pull this thing out as the Grizzlies win it 111-103. 888-957-9570. Still time to sneak in some phone calls for you there on this one, as Jordan Poole tied the career high with 26 points tonight, a career-best third consecutive 20-point game, fourth on the season, and he scored in double figures in each of the last eight games, averaging 20.3 points in that span. Just three total turnovers. So he's got the ball in his hands, Covey, and he's not giving up the rock, and he's putting it in the basket. Go ahead and finish that thought, my man, before the break regarding just him and Steph and future roles.
Yeah, well, I think what's going to be important is that he needs to let it be known, at least so we know, that he can play with Steph, without Steph. Like, if he wants to be a useful commodity to Steve Kerr and play a ton of minutes, he has to be able to show that he can also play with Steph, because not playing with Steph only means then that you can play with the backup point guard, or that you are the backup point guard. And that's a limited number of minutes because, well, Steph's going to be out there 30 plus minutes a night. So if Jordan Poole is going to be part of this rotation, he basically has to be able to play with Steph, right? I mean, That's really the only option. Otherwise, he's only guaranteed, you know what, 12, 15 minutes a game. And for a guy that could score 25 and shoot the way he can and protect the basketball, hopefully he's going to be able to play more than that. So him being able to play with Steph, that's going to be massively important.
Yeah, let's go ahead and hear a little bit from Jordan Poole. Again, the 26-point effort in the ballgame tonight, not enough to lead to a victory. Jordan Poole, seemingly the nightly question here about his confidence level.
Well, I feel like it's just the work. It's just the work, and you know, obviously, I'm young and I got a long career ahead of me. But you know, I really am always going to go back to the work, just because it's been proven. You know, these last couple of games, from everything that I've did this summer, and you know, continues to the point. So, I mean, my confidence has never left. You know, it's who I am as a person. It's the reason I'm in this league. It's the reason I made it this far. You know, shout out to my parents and coaches early on for instilling that in me, and it is who I am as a person. So. No matter the performance, I'll never lose the confidence because it's what got me here.
Yeah, and the hard work paying off, and I think it's just commendable and respectable, because and so important, because I think, you know, fair or unfair, sometimes players get labeled by the perception. And you know, you were talking about a couple of weeks ago and the comparison to Nick Young. To Swaggy P. And you know what? Jordan Poole kind of reminded people a little bit of Nick Young. Like, you know, kind of brash and confident, but would make some mistakes that would really, you know, even as a young player, a 20-year-old coming into the league, would make you go, what the heck is going on out there? So he kind of gives you that impression with his play, wrongly, that he isn't a hard worker, just his style. And I think at times people get that, again, wrongly in the back of their mind. And so for him, and you know, he almost has to work doubly hard, again, not totally fair, but to release that stigma and to have the results follow and show, then you can go back and tell everybody, yeah, it was the hard work. And Draymond can tell everybody, yeah, this kid's always in the gym. And you know, Steve Kerr can praise him for what he did in the G League in the bubble. It's not fair, but it's kind of like Andrew Wiggins with the, hey, he's a quiet, soft-spoken dude, right? He's got to deal with that kind of noise. And I think Jordan Poole has had to deal with the other type of noise, because he was a confident player even when he wasn't playing well. He kind of gets miscast as a guy that doesn't work hard, and that couldn't be farther from the truth, clearly.
I think that's a great point. And look, he's aware of the perception, I feel like. I just don't think he cares, and maybe that goes along with being a little bit brash. The bottom line is, we all know, JD, there's a fine line between confidence and arrogance, right? And Jordan Poole's always going to play with confidence, and when the shots are going in, that's all it is. It's unbridled confidence, right? And when they're not dropping, it's unfounded arrogance. So it's a fine line as long as he's having success, though. And look, I don't even think he necessarily, you know, contorts himself that way, right? I mean, he's not at the podium talking brash or anything. He sounds like a pretty humble kid, and, you know, maybe that time down in the G League humbled him. Regardless, we could tell everything we heard coming into the season after we came out of, you know, COVID lockdown was Jordan Poole was in the lab working. Physically, he looked great. Fitz and I talked about it. He said, like, when they had that little camp, you know, in the summer, it was like, dude, Jordan Poole is locked in. He's ready to go, man. He was the best player out there. And that's obviously carried into the season. You know, the opportunity maybe wasn't quite there yet. He needed a little bit more refinement down in the G League. Maybe he needed to validate that the success was real. But regardless, he's here now, and I think he only stands to even get better. That's the good news, right, JD? I mean, he's played a handful of games, and I love the no turnover factor, because for a guy that gets, you know, maybe there's this misconception about him that he's got this kind of fast and loose way about him. Well, fast and loose equates to making foolish decisions with the basketball to me, and he's not doing any of that. I mean, maybe, you know, he might pop off for some YOLO threes, right? And you know, as long as you make them, no problem. But it's not like he's, you know, trying to do stuff that's outside of his realm as far as a basketball player. So if he's protecting the rock and he's making shots, what else is he supposed to do right now?
All right, who's hot, who's not coming up here? I think we just gave you a sneak peek at who's hot. against my better judgment here, Covey, I'm going to go to the phones. Body Blow in Colma. Body Blow is up here on Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Body Blow? Don't make me regret it.
Good evening. Good evening, JD, Covey. No, I've noticed, yeah, the Warriors flow a lot better when they're playing small ball, and that's because when the center's not clogging the plane, there's room to attack. I saw more Wiggins getting to the free throw line. Oubre was able to get the free throw line. I know he was hurt. That's why he couldn't do this much. And I think Steve Kerr's got to kind of notice that a little bit and not have the center in the way. When Wiseman and Kevin Looney come back, to do what he did yesterday, when Kevin Looney kind of spotted out near the corner three, there was more room for everybody to drive. I saw Jordan Poole driving, and yesterday Damian Lee was driving. When the Warriors have room to drive or shoot, the offense flows better. And I think Steve Kerr, I think Steve Kerr's kind of still learning this team while the team's still learning how to play. He's got to change up a little bit of his offensive philosophy and not always shoot the three when there's like 18 seconds on the shot clock. Try to look to drive first before shooting the three.
All right. Thanks, Body Blow. Good call. We'll touch on a little bit of that.
While you're ahead, Body Blow, I actually thought that he made some reasonable
he
points.
He did. No, absolutely. He did. And I think you nailed it as well. Yeah, quit while you're ahead. Look, the Steve Kerr offense is not take a quick jump shot at 18 seconds on the shot clock. The Steve Kerr offense is ball movement. It's not even really shoot a ton of threes. Like that, I know because it's Steph and Clay, it's kind of been categorized at that. But there's a lot of opportunities for the mid-range. There's a lot of opportunities to get to the basket. I will say bringing the big out and creating more lanes for this team in particular to slash, I think that's critical and probably does need to happen a little bit more. I agree with Body Blow on that. And yesterday is a real strong example of that. They opened it up basically for Andrew Wiggins to go to work and play a style where Andrew Wiggins could eat and eat large. And Andrew Wiggins took advantage of it and scored 40 points. Now, that's not going to happen every night. I don't even think he's going to get you 25 every night. But they did last night change their style of play a little bit because they had an advantage in that one specific area with that one specific player, and it worked. I do think there needs to be maybe a little bit more of that here and there.
I agree. And look, it's within the flow of the game too, right? And look, Steve Kerr, I think it's easy to forget. Steve Kerr's gone small plenty throughout his coaching tenure, right? I mean, death lineup anybody, Hampton's five. Like, Steve Kerr is totally willing to do that during stretches in the game. But there's also the Warriors get crushed on the offensive glass every night. The Warriors are in the bottom third in rebounding. Like, that's an issue for this basketball team. So big men have a role. And even, you know, as far as screen setting, rim protection, like it maybe doesn't always give you what you want, the desired result on the offensive end. But defensively, trust me, you play small all the time. In the long run, it's going to hurt you. It's just about picking the right times to do it. And I think, you know, it's also a personnel thing too, right? I mean, Steve Kerr's hand was forced, so he'd probably have to play it more than you'd like to. So over the course of 48 minutes, you will see some stretches where the small ball looks good, but it's easy to forget about the times where, you know, they can't corral a rebound and it's, you know, you're one and done every possession if you miss a shot. And then there's stretches where it really hurts them. So it depends on the opposition. It depends on a lot of factors, but I think ideally you'd like to have the opportunity or the option to have both, right?
Let's get to Dr. Dan in Fremont. Dr. Dan's up next at 888-957-9570. What's up, Dr. Dan?
Hey, not much, guys. Hi, JD. How you doing there, Covey?
Good.
Hey, man.
Good, bro.
How you doing? Hey, the game
good
tonight, you know, what a sort of a sad one. You know, I hate to say that, but, yeah, they got to learn how to close a game. I mean, you know, Klay Thompson would have done it if he was in the system. And he knows how to close out a game. But Poole, I don't know about that. He's got to have a little more experience and a little more forte, you know what I'm saying? A little more drive. Go to the rim more often when you get the chance to do that. Because if you go to the rim more often, just like Steph Curry's doing, you've got that phenomenon. Basically, you force the guy to issue, you make him foul you, or else it gets you back on the line. That's what got him involved in the first couple of quarters, right? All the times on the line, all of a sudden, what happens in the fourth quarter? No shots. Nobody's going to the line. They're taking three-pointers and stuff like that. That's when you start getting cold. When you start getting cold, you're going to start losing it, man. I have to tell you. So one thing you got to do is remember, like, Jordan Poole's got to remember, like, play like Klay Thompson, you know? Play like Klay. If he has to, he has to drive. You don't see Klay dunk very often, but once he dunks it, you know, hey, Klay's means business. He means business, you know? Get him back on the air. Yeah, come on. Get him back on the air. I mean, as soon as we get back Klay, he's going to get much more better. Much more better.
All right, thanks, Dr. Dan. Appreciate the call. 888-957-9570. Mixed bag there. I think Jordan Poole, we'll try and make some sense of that. Jordan Poole, as teams come out and guard him at the three-point line, is going to have more opportunities to get to the basket, and I do think Jordan Poole has shown an ability to very cleverly get to the basket and finish around the basket. So it's another aspect of his game that I do think he can get more aggressive with, but the defense is going to dictate that, I think, to him, and we'll see if he's up for the challenge. I think he does have the skill set, and he has flashed it really a little bit in each game.
I'm just stoked that Boomhauer is listening to the show tonight. That's exciting, man. Shout out to King of the Hill. That's what I thought just called right there. But look, Jordan Poole's just still getting his feet wet in the NBA. And I know he played last year some, but like you can't take away anything from last year other than that was his baptism by fire. So look, he's still coming along just fine. The guy's out there scoring the rock. He's not turning it over. He's been a willing defender. He's given this team a huge shot in the arm. And as far as, you know, the desire to go small all the time, look, the Warriors are a game over 500 right now. And one of their huge Achilles heels is not being able to get offensive rebounds, getting crushed on the glass every night. So just temper your expectations there. You want to have the ability to do both. Sometimes you need to play with some size, a little rim protection, shot blocking, et cetera. Sometimes you want to go small. Steve Kerr will do that when he feels it's right. But there needs to be a mixture of both, I feel like. And when you can do both as a basketball team, that's when you know you become even more complete and more dangerous.
All right, more from Jordan Poole momentarily, but let's get to Priest in Palo Alto. Priest, you're on 95.7 The Game on Warriors wrap-up. What's up, Priest?
I appreciate you taking my call, fellas. Listen, the Warriors have lost games this year specifically because they didn't have bigs. When they're big,
thank you.
We played small ball, and it showed. We got dominated. They lost this game tonight specifically because they didn't have a big. So all this small ball, shut up. Okay, Jordan Poole, in my opinion, his game is getting to the basket. I tell you why. down there in the G League, man, I saw this kid with an array of moves I had no idea he had. And I'm talking, like, when they were talking about, I mean, he can shoot the three. He can shoot. But his game is getting to the basket and finishing around the basket. It's just, he is, you know who he reminds me of? And I've been hesitant to say this because I know people are going to react when I say it. He reminds me of a very young Damian Lillard. That's who, I'm telling you, this kid can finish, man, going to the basket. So, and I'm telling you, this kid is just, he's just scratching the surface. He's just scratching the surface to see what's there. His game, I have a lot of hope for him. Him and Mannion. When the three of those kids, when soon as Wiseman gets back, the three of those kids on that second unit, I think is the future of the Warriors. That's how I feel. And I know how everybody wants to. The Warriors, they got to get Curry another ring. Those three kids are going to be heavily responsible. If the Warriors get Curry another ring, they will be the reasons why. Trust me on this one. Okay.
Thanks, Priest. Thanks. Appreciate the call, Priest. Look, if the Warriors win another championship in the next, let's say, 3 years, I would guess that Jordan Poole and James Wiseman are rotation pieces. I don't know about Nico Mannion. We'll see. Nico Mannion's going to have 8 games close to what Jordan Poole's just done in the last 8 games before I'm going to say Nico Mannion's going to be a part of the next time the Warriors win a championship. But, you know, he had his moments tonight, even. 5 big points there at the top of the fourth quarter. His ability to shoot the basketball in the second half here has been, I think, a pleasant surprise, because that was kind of the knock on him. He's very adept at creating for others. He seems to have a feel for running an NBA offense. I mean, the questions for him, I feel like, are going to be on the other end. It's can he defend anybody? I think he tries. But I also don't think we've seen teams fully get in attack mode. We're going to take this kid off the floor because he can't guard anybody. He hasn't seen that level of attention yet. And the more he's on the floor, the more I feel like, you know, teams will probably attack him. And he right. does have some defensive vulnerabilities. But offensively, I'm pretty pleasantly surprised with what I've seen so far since the Warriors have been back from the All-Star break.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want to stay consistently good as an organization, i.e., you know, the Spurs in the NBA or the Patriots in the NFL, those are always the standards we talk about. You got to hit on some draft picks, and young players have to move into formidable roles, and maybe even sometimes a little bit ahead of schedule, right? And right now, Wiseman, I guess the jury's still out, but I still think we've seen enough from James Wiseman. Once we get a full complement of games from him and he gets some more experience, he's going to be just fine. Jordan Poole got a little seasoning last year, and now he's obviously stepped it up this year. And it's kind of one of those, I mean, you know how much I love my dog, right? And Nux, you know, shout out to Knuckles, he's getting a little older now. And so the wifey and I, we've been talking about maybe getting another dog, because having a young pup in the mix with an older dog helps keep everybody a little bit young, helps keep everybody a little bit spry, kind of a shot in the arm, a little enthusiasm around the house. Well, it could do that for a basketball team too. If you're a guy like Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, you know, you've been there, 5 finals, 3 titles, you've carried this team for so many years, and then you see kind of that next generation. Well, I think it's empowering to everybody to want to, you know, you got somebody worthy to pass that torch to, all that knowledge, right? It's not going to be in vain. And, you know, seeing that mixture, that's when franchises hit that like beautiful golden spot, JD, where you've got a nice veteran group, and then like that next group that's ready to take the ball and run with it. So that's what they hope they're building here. Certainly, you know, Andrew Wiggins still has, you know, what is he, 25, 26, JD? He's got plenty of basketball ahead of him. And then obviously the young Bucks, Mannion and Wiseman and Poole. So we'll see what comes of it, but that's the goal of any organization. And, you know, Wiseman and Poole, for their rights, their first round pick. So you hope you hit on them, and they're there to be able to pass the torch to. And guess what? Steph and Clay and Draymond, last I checked, they got a few more years left in them, right? So hopefully you can have a little bit of both, so there's a time where they all play well together.
The best part about this for me, speaking of just Poole and Mannion, is the fact that they're able to play right now. And it's and look, I always think you have to look at the upside, but I also think anytime you decide you're going to make a change, as Steve Kerr did, you have to at least in the back of your mind think, what's the worst case scenario? And the worst case scenario would be, hey, these guys just are getting you killed on a night-in, night-out basis in some way or semi-regularly, and that hasn't been the case at all. Like, there was some real concern, like, you know, especially those first couple of games where you're playing the Clippers and the Jazz and the Lakers, and it didn't look real great, and you pointed it out, hey, they held their own against the Jazz, and now you're going to get some other competition, and they'll have the confidence level, and that point was right on the money. And it's really come to fruition here over these last three games. But the best part about this is the fact that Steve Kerr's going to be able to keep playing these guys because they're playing well enough to earn those minutes, and that means that we're all going to get an opportunity to see them continue to develop, and that's a good thing for everybody. If they were getting destroyed on a night-in, night-out basis, you know, Nico Mannion, you know, he can be at times struggle defensively, but he's still doing enough offensively, and he's still, you know, a willing enough trying to defend, you know, and stick his head in there and make plays to where you can keep him on the floor. So even at that, especially for the remainder of this season now with 29 games to go, I think is a huge, huge deal. All right, we got a couple of minutes left here. Let's get to who's hot and who's not, as it is brought to you by Exergen, because accuracy matters. Jordan Poole, I mean, that's the easy answer to this one. 26 more points tonight for Jordan Poole. In for Steph. I gave you the numbers a little bit earlier. Tying his career high with 26. A career-best third consecutive 20-plus point game, and he's averaging 20.3 over the last eight with three turnovers. So Jordan Poole gets the nod there. It was a hot night for Juan Toscano-Anderson, knocking down 3 of 5 from 3, a plus 15. He changes the game, man, when he gets in there, and he's put a positive imprint on a lot of games where the Warriors have played well. Who's not tonight? Andrew Wiggins, 4 of 14 tonight. Overall, 2 of 5 from three, compared to the ball game that he had last night. The struggle continues for Kent Bazemore, 2 of 7 in this ball game tonight. And Brad Wanamaker, I mean, kind of the season long member of who's not hot, an 0 for 4 night for Brad Wanamaker. And yeah, I think he's going to go back to not playing as soon as Stephen Curry comes back. So that's Who's Hot and Who's Not, sponsored by Exergen, because accuracy matters. Covey, you got any tip-ins on that here in the final minute or so before we wrap this thing up?
Nah, shout out to Juan Toscano-Anderson, though, right? I mean, this guy, I hope that he gets more playing time in the second half of the season. And I know this is actually kind of a deep team at the end of the day where, you know, maybe a guy like Juan Toscano-Anderson may not have a regular role every night. But I want to see more because I love the dude's story. And by the way, shout out to the Travellini family. I'm actually on remote tonight, JD. I'm on location. And they're two adorable daughters for letting me hang out and do the show tonight. So appreciate Talia and Sienna for letting me come over and do the show tonight, JD.
All right, good stuff there, and that's going to do it for us. And enjoy the rest of your evening. Enjoy the off day tomorrow, and then we're back at it on Monday with the final word, 6 o'clock, full four-hour extravaganza on the Monday for the final word. So can't wait for that, and then back on Tuesday with Warriors Live at 5:30. So
You got a day off tomorrow, JD? You're not allowed to have a day off.
Tomorrow is it's the first one. It was off 6, and then you come back from the vacation, and then it's 10 straight.
And I love you, brother.
So this ends the run of 10 straight. We'll get tomorrow off, and then we'll run through the next 6 days, and then we'll get the next Sunday.
Enjoy it. You've
off.
Earned it, man. You're a gamer, baby. You're a gamer. So take your day off and enjoy it. I won't bother you tomorrow. I promise.
Ah, you can bother me. You can always bother me. That's going to do it for us. For Ryan Covey, good stuff, brother. We'll talk to you on Monday night. Thanks to Sterling. Thanks to Dueling Sams in our San Francisco studios tonight as well for helping to put the pre- and the post-game shows together. That'll do it. Grizzlies beat the Warriors 111-103. We're back again 6 o'clock Monday night with the final word. Keep it locked right here on 95.7 The Game. Good night.